Hi, and welcome back to Green Left Radio. And we have with us David Ball from the Maritime Union of Australia, the MUA, who's the Victorian Branch Deputy Secretary, just to give us a breakdown on this ongoing Switzer dispute. Welcome, David, to the show.
Thanks,
welcome back.
No worries. Thank you.
David, we've been keeping an eye on these EBA negotiations. It's been going for a while now. And, you know, we've joined in some of the protests you've organized. But for listeners who might not be aware, can you please start off with an overview of, you know, who Switzer is and how this dispute actually started?
Sure. It's an EA negotiation. It's been going on for over 2 years. Switzer are owned by Maersk Shipping, which is one of the biggest shipping companies in the world. They operate in around 35 countries around the world. But the Australian operation is very important to the, I guess, the business portfolio because it produces over 50% of their revenue. So we're a big part of their operation. And unfortunately, well, COVID played a big role in the breakdown of the negotiations. We were a fair way down the path of getting an agreement when everything closed up and we had to cease negotiations. And that's when Switzer turned nasty. They put 30 new claims on the table. We called them the Dirty 30. And from there, negotiations just broke down. I guess the other thing I'd just like to mention that's important for people to understand is that on a tugboat, there's three people. One's a skipper, one's an engineer, and one's an IR or a deckhand. And the IR is our member, the engineer belongs to the AMP Institute, and the skipper belongs to the masters, the AMOU. So it's an extremely complex negotiation with three different unions sitting at the table, and all the three different unions have different issues that they're grappling with.
Given that kind of complicated thing, are there any of the union's issues contradictory, though? What sort of stuff does everybody want that Switzer's refusing to?
At the moment, the rostering arrangements are something that all three unions are dealing with. And at the moment, there's a minimum of a 10-hour break here in Melbourne between shifts, and Switzer are trying to reduce that to 6 hours. Oof. Which, you know, yeah, is, as you'd imagine, pretty difficult to deal with and has massive fatigue issues behind it. But now the engineers are responsible for the maintenance on the vessel, so they're in dispute regarding when maintenance should be done. Switzer, again, want maintenance to be done, you know, for the entire shift. So you're on a 12-hour night shift, they want you out doing maintenance, which is just unrealistic because these guys work 7 12-hour shifts in a row, and that could be 7 12-hour night shifts. And, you know, that's just, you can't be working the whole time. You need to be able to get some rest during that period.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And given that tugboat operation is not an easy job, it's kind of high risk and it is specialized, especially talking about engineering and stuff, but just all of it is pretty specialized. The idea of trying to reduce the amount of rest that people can have seems like absolute madness.
And cutting, what was it, 65% of the wages?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's bizarre and it's just corporate greed and a lack of understanding of what the workers actually do. And that's a big problem with these negotiations. During the two-year period, Switzer have removed four or five of their leading negotiators, and they were the people, well, the first couple were the ones that actually understood the towage industry. We now find ourselves sitting at the table with lawyers who have no understanding of the industry and are just arguing from a legal perspective and from a financial perspective. So that's made it really difficult.
Mm. And you'd think that this sort of, you know, like you said, corporate greed, but you'd think that stuff like if you have increased risk of accidents, injuries, that sort of thing, from, you know, trying to reduce the amount of sleep people can get or try to get them to work 12 solid hours, you'd think that that would be bad for their bottom line as well. Is that, aren't they sort of,
there.
Yeah, aren't they sort of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit with that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Companies are reactionary and they, you know, they take risks with people's safety and, I guess, pay the consequences down the path when it does fall to pieces.
Mm.
Yeah, and Dave, how important is it for the MUA to win this campaign? I mean, what would be some of the we are hoping that you'll win, and you most likely will, hopefully. But what are some of the consequences of letting this, you know, grubby company win?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of different sides to that. One, I guess, the big one, and this is for all workers across Australia, is that Fitcher have applied to Fair Work Australia to have the agreement torn up and to go back to the award. So that's like 20, 30 years of, you know, bargaining over EBAs and improving conditions. And it's not only just for the workers, it's also for the company around flexibilities with rostering arrangements. If that happens, then it just sort of gives a green light to other companies to do that. We know Qantas have applied to tear up their agreement. Patrick's also did, but they backed out of it. We managed to get an agreement with Patrick's. So there's sort of, there's that angle there, but there's also, with the 6-hour breaks, you know, we don't want to introduce that anywhere. And also, in towage, there are a couple of companies practicing different type of employment arrangements where they have a partnership or a cooperative workplace agreement with their workers. So it removes liability by the company, and the three workers who are on the tug end up having to get public liability insurance, and they basically, it's a sham contracting arrangement, so we're really fighting against that too.
Hmm. We're running slightly low on time, so we might skip. Do you have anything that you want to add, any stuff that we haven't covered so
far? Yeah, I'd just like to call out to all the unions around Victoria, around Australia, and also you guys as socialists to continue to come to our rallies and support us on this issue. You know, it was fantastic last week when the global CEO came out to Australia and he refused to meet with the workers or the negotiating team, and we had 200 angry unionists standing out in front of his gates, and he didn't get to go on his little cruise up the river. And so a big thank you to all the unions and all the socialists who continue to support us.
Yeah, solidarity.
Well, yeah. And in that case, are there any upcoming actions that people should be aware of?
Not at the moment. We've actually got them back to the table, so there's 3 days of meetings taking place next week. So hopefully we'll get some progress there. Coming into a federal election, we really don't want to become the target of the Liberal government and take protected action. And so we're just holding back and waiting to see what happens. We do want a negotiated outcome anyway, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, fair. Well, we'll make sure to keep everybody updated, you know, via the radio and our newspaper and stuff about actions that are upcoming or that sort of thing. But yeah, thanks very much for your time, David.
Thanks, David. Solidarity to you, the MUN, and all those tugboaters whose jobs are under threat.
Yeah, for sure.
Good on you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Bye.